Innovation meets the law.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida League of Women Voters, offering a solar co-op for Sarasota residents with their nonprofit partner, Solar United Neighbors. Co-op participants will receive guidance on going solar. To learn more, the next information session is Wednesday, July 11th at 6 p.m. at the Jacaranda Library in Venice. For more information, go to solarunitedneighbors.org/Sarasota. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. This is community radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session, which is your forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. My name is John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. All viewpoints are welcome. Civility is required as we test the proposition that our republic will fare better if, instead of screaming at each other across the street, we talk with each other over the back fence. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. That will put you in contact with Ms. Jan Simpson, who will answer your call and put you in the stack and get you ready to come out here onto the floor and say your piece in the session. You can reach the studio at dj@wmnf.org by email or 813-433-0885 by text. Be sure to search for Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page so you can discuss today's White House events there as well. We are on our way to 500 people following the page, and so we'd like to go to see if we can reach that in the next few days, just for fun. 3 weeks ago, the president went to Singapore to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Soon after, he announced that the United States and South Korea would discontinue joint military exercises that the North had characterized as provocative. Kim agreed to return the remains of American soldiers killed in the Korean War and talk about denuclearization. Recently, satellite surveillance indicates that the North has continued to develop its nuclear program, increasing its production of nuclear fuel at, quote, multiple sites, unquote, according to the Wall Street Journal, reporting analysis from the Stimson Center, and U.S. intelligence sources agreed. This morning, starting at 6:13 and continuing through at least 10:18, the president posted 9 tweets, among them this, quote, "Many good conversations with North Korea. It is going well. In the meantime, no rocket launches or nuclear testing in 8 months. All of Asia is thrilled. Only the opposition party, which includes the fake news, is complaining. If not for me, we would now be at war with North Korea." Richard Haas discussed this morning on Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski during the program, and he says that in his view, the tweet announces a policy change. So see what you think.
A busy start to this morning's executive time. Somebody needs to take the phone.
So Richard, you were looking at the North Korea quote, which again,
stressed.
We won't pay attention to the other quotes because they really are sound and fury signifying nothing. But as far as North Korea goes, it is definitely Donald Trump has moved the goalposts now to where just showing up is a great geopolitical strategic success.
It's an interesting tweet this morning.
Talk about what he says.
What he said was two things. He said, the critics, it's fake news, but there's two real accomplishments. One is that North Korea has continued its suspension of missile and nuclear tests now for roughly 8 months, true. And second of all, that he gets credit all over Asia for keeping us out of war. So no mention of denuclearization, no mention of getting rid of missiles, no mention of the North Korean conventional military threat. It seems that suddenly, again, war avoidance and suspension and keeping the testing suspension, that's now the definition of success. If that's true, as you said, that's a significant moving of the goalposts.
It's unbelievable, and he's calling the Wall Street Journal, Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal, fake news, because they're the ones that actually, along with NBC talked about the nuclear development side of it. But you have Wall Street Journal talking about them cheating also on missile technology and creating missiles that can be launched and carry a nuclear warhead to the continental United States. So now what Donald Trump is saying with his tweet, if we are to believe that this is really his stated policy, and why wouldn't it be, is that the North Koreans can continue developing nuclear weapons. They can continue developing missile technology that can deliver a nuclear warhead anywhere in the continental United States. But as long as we're not at war, then he succeeded. Of course, it's like the immigration crisis. He creates the crisis. He amps it up. Like the threat of war. Nobody was saying we're going to war under Barack Obama. He said there was a problem. But, you know, attacking Kim Jong-un every day and talking about we're going to war. And so now he's supposed to get credit for a hot crisis he created.
Don't get me wrong, no one in his right mind would want to go to war if it could be avoided. But this means essentially what he's signaling is that we are now prepared to live in an open-ended way with a large and growing North Korean capability to hammer not just the region, but also to reach the United States. That is a significant policy shift. And if you're Mike Pompeo jetting over there, this does not exactly help your bargaining position.
It doesn't matter. It deflects from what bothers him.
I'm really surprised, though, if you read that tweet that he attacked Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal and called Rupert Murdoch.
Well, you know, it's not a joke. 5 days ago, we had a newspaper shot up. Okay, I'm not tying it to Donald Trump.
No, you can't.
I'm not going to. But 5 days ago, we did have a newspaper shot up, and I would appreciate if he stopped using the moniker fake news, because it's not a joke, and I'm tired of it, and I'm sure a lot of other people are tired of it.
Oh, we're tired of it.
So does that post by the president represent a change in policy? Does it move the goalposts? Do you think if it wasn't for President Trump that we'd be at war with North Korea? What do you think of Sam Stein's remarks about the president calling the media fake news? 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with Ms. Jan Simpson. She will get you ready to step into the session this afternoon as we discuss this and no doubt a wider range of other topics, because there's a lot going on.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
And we are convened on a Tuesday afternoon before July 4th. Welcome to executive session. We are going to go right straight to the phones and start this conversation. Going to march right down this stack just exactly as they appear in front of me. And we're going to talk to Thomas. Thomas, you've been on here since before the program started. What do you got to say?
No, it's perfect timing. I was actually going to comment on this right here. I do not believe that we would be at war with North Korea, regardless of what president is in power. That's my personal opinion. I think this is all basically political jockeying, because Kim Jong-un wants to basically take his country and integrate it into, like, the first world, and he's trying to figure out a way to actually gain the most, you know, pieces of the board, negotiate with the rest of the world.
Well, nuclear weapons have a way of getting a guy on, getting a guy attention.
Correct, exactly. And it's like, you know, this has been going on for a really long time. And it's just, on behalf of Trump's, you know, the way his diatribe, it's the art of the war for him. You know, it's the art of the deal. It's the way he goes about doing things, you know, the art of chaos, Nietzsche and stuff like that. So I just, like I said, I think once again, with the whole thing about this whole dubbing of the fake news, there is a lot of fake news in America. Many, many, many people would agree. The disinformation is out of control specifically.
Well, you know, Thomas, I'll tell you what, let me get in here for just a second. What I really would appreciate from people who are pointing fingers and yelling fake news is some exposition of what they're talking about. I would like some citations. You see what I mean? And I mean, I know there's a lot of misinformation out there, but when you call, especially the professional media, the traditional media in the United States of America, when you call them fake news and the enemy of the people, you need to come up with some citations. See what I mean?
Okay, so I'll just come up with the largest citation, you know, in modern history would be the lie about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that every major news organization jumped on,
uh-huh.
and how we always seem to quote the intelligence agencies.
Yeah, that's especially interesting since there is some record that Vice President Cheney was down in Virginia leaning on the analysts, and that they actually started a department, and I cannot recall the name. It was the Office of Special Operations or Office of Special Projects or some such in the White House that was designed to connect Iraq and 9/11.
Correct.
So that was go ahead.
Interesting. And no, that's exactly right. And that was manufactured war. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. And in fact, if you really go into the evidence, there has been nothing but proof that it was a major cover-up because the Bushes had total connections with the Saudi royalty, and the Saudis pretty much financed the pilots. I mean, even recently, and that's interesting that we're even talking about that because off subject, you know, Roger Stone, I'm sure you're familiar with Roger Stone, you know, love him or hate him, he is like one of the most important figures to give you inside information to the Trump campaign and the way that Trump thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger Stone came out saying that basically Trump is his ace in the hole is going to be basically they're going to release the redacted 28 pages of the 9/11 report that was released.
I was just thinking about that. I was just thinking about that going, you know what? I'd really like to see. I'd like to see those pages.
Well, that's why last night on Tucker Carlson, because see, the way it works is with Trump, Trump basically has Stone. Stone goes to Alex Jones, and Alex Jones releases like the really hardcore, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
That's on the verge of conspiracy, and also
right.
somewhat.
And everything inside that seems sane.
Okay, yeah. And then what happens is then Fox uses Fox as like the watered down like hole to get to the mainstream of like here's what's going to be coming out down the barrel later on. And last night Tucker Carlson had a guest on, which was the families that were suing the Department of Justice to get the redacted information about 9/11, and basically Stone came out saying that it's all going to happen because Mueller, what they're doing is you really do have a war of the deep state, and that's what we're talking about, like with this Korea situation. Like you have the people who really control the government, which are the, you know, the major corporations, the military industrial complex, and you have these politicians and
Thomas, yeah. you have got way more to say than we have time for right now. Listen, I'm going to tell you something though. You've done something very interesting, which is that you have postulated a structure for the flow of this for the flow of these notions that goes from Roger Stone to Alex Jones down to Fox News, and that I think that's very interesting. I think it gives us a lot to think about, and I appreciate that. And listen, you and I hope we'll talk again, and we're going to go and we're going to talk to some other folks, and thank you for opening the session this afternoon.
You're welcome. Just
sure enough. 813-239-9663. We'll get you, Ms. Jan Simpson will answer your call to get you ready to step in. We're going to go and we're going to talk to Daryl. Daryl, good afternoon. You're in executive session. What say you?
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
And if I could jump on some of the comments that Mr. Thomas made.
Yeah.
Are you really surprised that Kim Jong-un is doing what he's doing? He doesn't care if you have any satellites trained on him or what's going on over there. This is the same guy who, out at sea, and it's been proven, was receiving shipments from Russia out at sea, and probably with just the assistance of communist China for doing what he wanted to do. Hmm. But I wanted to say something right
now. I heard, and I don't remember where this came from, but I heard that the rapidity with which he developed rocket motors that were effective in the ways that his now are may be attributed to assets in Ukraine. So, and I haven't traced that back. I haven't traced that back with any specificity or detail. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Let me try to be civil about this.
I wish you would.
See what's going on in North Korea? That's the message that has been sent. That if somehow you can develop nuclear weapons, the big bad bully, the United States, they ain't gonna mess with you. So, you think India really is your friend? And remember Pakistan, where we got the number one, whatever.
We still don't know what his status was in there.
Right in Pakistan, and remember, we had to sneak across their border from Afghanistan on stealth helicopters and take him out.
Well, you know, when President Bush identified the axis of evil. And the only nation identified in that axis that we knew did not have nuclear weapons became the target of a massive invasion.
Let me go ahead.
The last line of that is, I think it sent a message to Kim.
Okay, let me be civil about this. We're all sitting around the table sipping on some coffee. And let me say this to some people, especially you independent voters and you Jill Stein supporters and people who follow behind Daisy and the hair, probably smoking peyote, Susan Sarandon, who got herself arrested. That can't make up for the craziness that you helped put in the White House. And by the way, no, don't grow a spine now and call in. Why didn't you call in on Friday when Daniel Roof basically mirrored and said the same thing? So now everybody's so upset about, you know, the Supreme Court and the stuff that's going to be happening. It's more than just abortion. Let me just say this.
Listen, the Trump administration, according to the and as lately as the top of the hour, they were NPR was reporting that they think that he's going to roll back the considerations of race for college admission, basically has the potential, I think, for setting up a matter that will end up in the Supreme Court as a test for affirmative action.
Yeah, and then you're going to load up the court with about a bunch of right wing whatever, and you these were the same people politically who wanted to close down HBCU. But I wanted to reiterate that you kind of threw me off what I wanted to say.
Apologize.
I'm being civil about this. So there are a lot of people in a lot of countries around the world who don't like us. See, in South America, the stuff that's going on now and people walking from their countries on Mexico's southern border, walking to try to get in here to get away from that dangerous situation that, by the way, we helped to create. And a lot of you drug users, that's why it's going on like that. When the you know what hits the fan, and they're going to have to reenact the draft because the manpower shortage is going to go down in the military. You bet believe it is.
All right, Darrell, see if you can bring it in for a landing in 30 seconds, okay?
I'm bringing it in for
We got the field in sight.
Yeah, I'm bringing in for a landing. Some of you ain't going to get it until you're standing over a coffin. Okay, from a war that we did not have to have. The man is a narcissistic dictator full of avarice. He doesn't give a you-know-what about you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Darrell. Thank you. Very nicely done. 813-239-9663. Elizabeth, good afternoon. You are in executive session this afternoon. Next in the queue, you're on.
All right, sir. I do appreciate this. John, my memory is poor, and I can't remember when I heard Trump say that he and Kim had a handshake agreement?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know. Was that the end of last week?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think it was probably when he came back from Singapore.
Whenever.
Yeah.
Whenever.
Not certainly it wouldn't have been before.
Well, no, that's true. I mean, you can't
so we can successfully eliminate that part of history. Okay.
Right. Right. He didn't bring a picture of that handshake, though, did he?
I don't know. There were several wonderful pictures of he and Kim Jong Un smiling at each other and shaking hands and exchanging whatever.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, and then what was it? A day or so after that, he is accusing him of breaking Kim of breaking his word and doing something that he wasn't going to do.
Mm-hmm.
John, come on now. All of that was nothing but tweets, lies.
Mm.
That never happened. Kim never promised to do anything.
They signed a statement. They signed this little kind of a four-part declaration after the thing was done. And it looked to me like what the North Koreans committed to was they committed to talk about denuclearization. See, so
yeah.
and the thing to know, the thing that I notice about that is that we've been talking about ending the Korean War since 1950 something. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
so when the North Koreans start talking to you about talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just saying.
Kim is in charge over there. He's not like Trump. He doesn't have to stand for election and all that good jazz. He's in charge. He's going to do what he's going to do.
Oh, he absolutely is.
And it really doesn't matter what Trump says. It's just, noise in the wind.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. We have a rather, I would say, checkered past with the North Koreans. It seems that we have reached accords with them on numerous occasions, and it seems that as frequently as we have reached accords, they have been violated. Now, the North Koreans blame us, we blame them.
It happened.
Yeah, that game goes on. But the bottom line is that whatever it was that we agreed on, that's not going on.
Yeah, it never will.
So,
what does it matter to them? Sign the paper. Go ahead. Shake hands. Smile.
Well, they have
go
been
home and do what you want.
Yeah, they have been preparing for another massive United States attack ever since we finished with the last one.
Well,
and
they will have reason to. We damn near put them off the face of the earth.
Kind of characterize it as we successfully bombed them back into the Bronze Age.
Yeah, just about.
Because I heard reports, and I one of these days I'm going to look this stuff up, but I have heard reports that that there were pilots that came back from bombing missions and said there's nothing up there.
Nothing there.
There's nothing up there to bomb.
I heard the gentleman speak that same way. There's nothing left. Why bother?
So for some reason, they haven't gotten over that.
How strange.
Yeah. So,
I mean, gee whiz, we got over our Civil War, didn't we? What's wrong with those people?
Yep. Any day now. All right, Elizabeth. Listen, it's good to talk to you as always, and we're going to be off tomorrow. We're going to pick up Thursday. We're going to move Everyday Ethics to Thursday. We have a topic on Thursday that is directly related to what we talked about yesterday. We talked about the newspaper shooting in Annapolis.
Ooh.
And there's an Everyday Ethics coming up that's going to be directly related to that. And so we're going to do that on Thursday. And listen, I anticipate talking to you again, and I appreciate you bringing yourself to the session.
Oh, you can count on it, John.
Good. 813-239-9663. We're going to step away from this conversation to bring you some information about some folks that are helping you support your station and some of the stuff that's going on around here.
The WMNF Americana Fest takes place July 14th at Skipper's Smokehouse. The annual summer event is a great showcase for roots rockin' bands from the Southeast. The lineup includes the Hummingbirds, Oak Ramble, American Songbox, Matt Woods, Hangtown, Band of Sorrows, Cottondale Swamp, Joshua Riley, Hannah Harbor and the Lionhearts, and the 502s. 4 p.m. to midnight, the WMNF Americana Fest.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus for those having foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear solutions fashioned to make your feet happy and is a full-service shoe store, including a complimentary foot scan analysis at their 10 Bay Area locations. All right, back to the conversation. We are actually marching down the queue here, taking these calls in the order in which they appeared, and we're going to go and we're going to talk to Rod in Largo. Good afternoon, Rod in Largo. You're in executive session this afternoon. You have the floor.
Good afternoon. Well, I believe this whole thing with Kim Jong-il was just a PR photo op. I think Trump.
You're showing your age.
Yeah.
You said Kim Jong Il, which is something I do all the time.
Sorry.
That's okay. I hear you.
It was just a photo op so Trump could tell his people that support him that look what I did, and which he did absolutely nothing. I don't think there was an agreement on anything. It was just a photo op.
Mm-hmm.
I think Korea agreed to do it, so that they can continue on doing what exactly is that the intelligence community says that they're doing.
Sure.
Just buying them time.
Yeah, well, you can agree to sit down and talk with me.
Right.
You know, we can agree to sit down and talk.
Sure.
And like I said, we're still talking about ending the Korean War.
Exactly.
You know.
I'm so over that guy. It's unbelievable, but I had another question. Now that we got a new president of Mexico, is he going to pay for the wall?
I don't know a lot about him except that he is described. I heard him described both as populist and leftist. And that, and I heard some of the things that he ran on. And he does not sound like a guy to me. Who will strike up an immediate friendship with President Trump?
Yeah, I don't either. When he expounded that they're going to pay for it, they're going to pay for it. And, of course, now he's lobbying Congress and trying to coerce them into the taxpayer paying for it, which doesn't make any sense to me. But Donald Trump doesn't make any sense about real politics and real things in the real world. He lives in his own world.
Yeah.
And that's about the only thing that I can come up with that guy. I don't know what people were thinking it just comes to mind to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Rather than to have Republicans or Democrats in there, let's just get somebody who's going to entirely screw everything up. And that would be better. I don't understand that.
Well, I think that was what the general thrust of the last election was to get some. I think that a lot the message from the Trump voters was that they were they supported the disruption of of Washington D.C. in general, and that Steve Bannon. Is someone who describes himself as a Leninist and describes his basic goal as the dismantlement or disassembly of the administrative state.
And I just don't understand how that could be a good thing.
Well, you know, the administrative state is cumbersome. It's unwieldy. It's duplicative. It isn't like this is a wonderful streamlined A train bullet train that's going along. Yeah. You know, this thing has got a lot of problems, and there's no question about that. But I am of the opinion that if you say you're going to destroy the government of a state, you need to have something to replace it with.
Well, sure.
You know, okay. I mean, now, maybe that's a simplistic notion. I don't know.
One other thing about the no collusion. I don't understand. I mean, I watch even on Fox, and how many people have they figured out already in his administration that have, in fact, colluded with the Russian government? I mean, and people that work for the Russian government. I think the only thing that they haven't proven yet is how Donald Trump was involved. And I believe, and I said this before the election, that I think he's been in bed with them for many years.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think I kind of got a viewpoint on it, and the viewpoint is that I think Donald Trump, because of his businesses and the fact that he was in business doing business with some very high-level Russian people, I don't think he sees them as an adversary. I think he sees them as a potential business partner.
Well, the federal government is not a business.
Well, picky. Listen.
All right, we'll let somebody get on.
All right, Rod, thanks for bringing it. I'll see you. We'll talk again. Bye-bye. 813-239-9663 will get you into communication with Ms. Jan Simpson, who will get you ready to step right into the session as we are with Richard. Good afternoon, Richard. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, John, I think you're starting to get the hang of this.
Maybe one of these days. I don't know.
I feel like Thomas. My mind's just going everywhere. But I'll stick to the point or the subject at hand. Korea, and this is something I haven't heard mentioned. When the North Koreans, when they signed the deal or the agreement to talk, two major things that Trump pointed out to his achievements was the destruction of a nuclear test facility, mm-hmm. and the closing of a rocket testing base.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really heard the stories that I heard at the time contemporary with those things happening. Rocket test facilities, to the nature of rocket testing, tend to get worn out pretty quick, so they have to be replaced.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I've heard anyway. And the other thing was,
okay, well, let me offer you a little bit different viewpoint. If you have developed your rockets to the point where they do, where you consider that they reliably do what you want them to do, do you need any more rocket testing facilities?
Oh, you'll probably always want one to try out the new model, but
take it out first.
You know, they did build it, or supposedly improving on a facility for the manufacture of the carbon fiber components of the missiles.
Mm.
So they're looking, and this was recent. This is what the satellite, recent satellite pictures have turned up.
Mm-hmm.
But also, back when they closed that nuclear test facility, it was in a mountain. And if you'll remember, shortly after the time they conducted their last nuclear test, China reported a seismic activity in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured it was one of those tunnels collapsing where they had stressed the mountain so much from setting off so many explosions.
Yeah, yeah.
So that facility was useless anyway. And I'm pretty sure that's the one that they closed down and blew up for the press.
Uh-huh. Oh, they did a beautiful demo. I mean, the video on it was very impressive.
Right. Did you hear about the cave-in or the seismic activity? They thought it was a small earthquake at first.
I did. I heard I heard basically exactly what you did.
And I haven't heard anything about it since then.
Yeah, and I also, the Wall Street Journal, that fake news left-wing rag, is quoting the Stimson Center and the analysts and our intelligence people saying that our satellites have detected they've detected the signs that the North Koreans have sped up their extraction of plutonium from spent fuel.
Oh, good, good. to.
Okay. Now, plutonium has very few uses.
Yeah. It's about the only one is for making bombs.
Yeah. Okay.
John, I appreciate your program.
All right. Well, listen, Richard, we're going to keep working on this. One of these days, we're going to get it right, okay?
Hey, you're getting there, buddy. I like your style.
Thank you. We will talk again.
Yeah.
813-239-9663, and we are just marching right through the queue here and taking these calls in order. We're going to talk to Charles in Tampa. Charles, this has been a fairly wide-ranging discussion, but we've been kind of on track about this, fact that the Wall Street Journal and our intelligence people are saying that the North Koreans, instead of stopping nuclear activity, have sped it up. What do you got?
Well, that's probably accurate, but going off of the fact that you just said the word fact, I was wondering if you have a fact checker at your disposal at the moment.
I actually do not. We have been abandoned. Our fact checkers have all fled. No, there's a group of folks who come in and they volunteer at different times, and we're very, very fortunate and pleased to have them here. And today is not one of those days.
Well, that's unfortunate, because there's something I would like to have put to rest once and for all.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do that? We have a hell of a community out there, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if somebody could fact check that and bring it in before we get off the air at 2. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, then here we go. Pretty simple. If all of the Gary Johnson and Jill Stein voters had voted for Hillary, would she now be in the Oval Office?
Good question.
All of the research that I've done over the last year and a half says very, very blatantly no, not even close.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really getting tired of listening to this radio station and wondering whether or not I'm listening to Fox News, because people keep calling in and saying, well, Jill Stein voters, I hope you're happy with your martini by the pool, feeling oh so principled, because you put Donald Trump in the White House, and it's just not true.
Well, here's the thing. What you want to do is
a battle in front of us, John, and building walls between us, which is what the liberal elites are doing by saying, how dare you not have voted for Hillary?
What you want to distinguish, Charles, is between factual reporting and people's opinions, like the one you just delivered. Okay, this radio station is a center for people's expression, and we commonly hear from all sides of an issue, including people who think that the left is the violent radical faction in politics in the country, and including people on the right. You know, and so we hear all kinds of stuff, and I would invite you to pay very, very close attention and distinguish between the delivery of opinion and the delivery of fact. Please go ahead.
Well, hey, the opinion is that it had Jill Stein voters voted for Hillary, she would be in the Oval Office.
Yep, that is an opinion.
That is not an opinion, really. I mean, it is a matter of numbers. This is a question to which we as a species have the answer. And we can do the math. I've seen this done. I looked it up not long after the election. If all of the people that voted for the third party, mm-hmm. had they voted for Hillary Clinton, given the jurisdictions where they were,
yeah, right.
The mechanism that we have and call an electoral college,
exactly.
Would Hillary Clinton be in the Oval Office? And until someone shows me the facts where my research is inaccurate, and if they do, I will. One of the reasons I'm not a Republican is because if someone shows me that I'm mistaken with evidence, I will change my opinion to reflect facts.
You old flip-flopper, you.
Dan Ruth and all these callers in, including Daryl, who is a fantastic person. This is probably the first thing I've ever not seen eye-to-eye with him on.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, please tell me. I will.
Well, listen,
I know Trump would still be in the White House because the system is so contrived, and supporting a broken system is no different than endorsing it on all levels.
That's a very interesting point, because if Clinton had won by wider margins in the places that she won, it would not have necessarily changed the 70 or 80,000 votes that gave Trump the Electoral College in the 3 or 4 counties where he'd got it that actually propelled him into the office. So I think your point is well taken, I don't have any strong information about that, but I can see what you're talking about, and I appreciate you bringing it in here.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate the forum.
Sure enough. We'll talk again. 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with the lovely Miss Jan Simpson, who will get you ready to step in here. Right now, we're going to step away for some information, and we'll be right back.
What does a real hero look like? Find out Sunday, August 19th, when WMNF hosts its first celebration of homegrown heroes at Gulfport Casino. WMNF will honor Tampa Bay individuals and organizations who are sowing the seeds of equality and peace and promoting social, economic, and environmental justice. From now until July 15th, you can nominate a person or group as a homegrown hero. Go to WMNF.org for more information and to make a nomination. Then mark your calendar for WMNF's Homegrown Heroes Celebration, August 19th in Gulfport.
Hi, this is Larnell Scott with a WMNF community announcement. Superheroes are fun to watch at the movies. However, there are almost 1,000 abused and neglected children in Pasco and Pinellas counties waiting for real-life superheroes to volunteer as guardians ad litem and become their voices. These precious children need volunteers to help them find safe, permanent homes. Guardian ad litem volunteers become superheroes to our community's children. You may learn more at herotoachild.org.
There you are. All right, let's get back to this conversation. This has been a very, very interesting conversation, and we're going to continue to just march right down the queue here. We're going to talk to Mickey in Palmetto. Good afternoon, Mickey. You're on WMNF in executive session.
Hello. This is my first time calling in, but I'd like to make...
Welcome to executive session. Welcome to the station.
Thank you. Yeah, just a few little things I'd like to say is that Elizabeth called in. She said that the people hadn't gotten over the Civil War. No, that's not true. They haven't gotten over that yet. And a president at 43 and 45, they got in by electoral votes, okay? And you notice every time a president get in by electoral votes, what happened to the country, okay? We had this weapon of destruction, wasn't true. And president, whatever his name is, 45, he's up with all this other little jab. He's talking about the kids and everything, you know. And one lady called in. She said that the deficit is because of President Obama. Okay, now if President Obama hadn't backed the car industry when he did, the United States would really been in a bind if he hadn't done that.
Yeah, we would have lost it. We would have lost at least two of the top three, wouldn't we?
Probably the whole country would have been.
Yeah.
People think it's just automakers. You got to figure out how many other industries that make parts for the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you take that. You got to take that into account. Okay, and then
I'll tell you what: if you take all the foreign-made parts out of an American car,
right,
you ain't got much.
Not much.
Just saying.
Okay, and then people need to understand that. The smallest country in the world, if they had a bomb and the United States will go and buy that country out to stop making bombs. And they, when Iran had their little thing about the bomb, okay, President Obama went over and he gave them their money back so they'll stop making bombs. Okay, this Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, he's over there. He's hiding the bombs or whatever. And he really don't have any bombs, I say, because if I remember correctly, the Chinese one, the one that came up with the gunpowder. Okay. So the guy over in North Korea.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, he was shooting up the rockets like at the 4th of July, you know. So, number 45, he go over there, he try to say, well, like, you stop doing that. And this guy is using the United States to get the embargo stopped, but he's still hiding his little bombs and everything else. So, like I say, they're using the United States just like a puppet, you know. And so the people need to understand that. And hopefully, if they ever, and another thing, too, people need to understand, they did not want a woman to be the president of the United States. And that's all I got to say.
All right. Listen, thanks. Appreciate it. Welcome to the station. Welcome to the session. And we'll talk again.
Thank you.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. As we head toward the lightning round here, we're just continue to take these things in order, and we're going to talk to Anthony in Dunedin. Good afternoon, Anthony. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon, John.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a rather simple question to ask.
Okay.
I'm going to be quick about it. And I'll listen to my answer off air.
Okay.
John, maybe you can answer this question for me, and if not, perhaps maybe somebody in the listening audience can. Donald Trump was a known tax cheat. He was in federal tax court at least twice that I'd heard of, mm-hmm. and lost both of his cases. And I'm not talking about him or one of his businesses being under an IRS audit. I'm talking about being a known tax cheat.
I hear you.
How was it that he was allowed to even run for president being a known tax cheat in this country? I don't think either you or I or anyone else, being known as a tax cheat, can run for president of the United States of America, John.
You know, I hear you, and I don't know what the legalities of that are. I understand what sounds like your viewpoint, which is that if a guy has been busted twice for being a federal tax cheat, that maybe he shouldn't be qualified to run for president.
That's what have been my thought, anyways, on this issue, but. Okay. I haven't heard a logical answer on this, and I sure would like to know.
Okay, well, listen, we have a great depth of knowledge here around us in this community, and there may be someone out there who has the legalities of this all nice and laid out, and we'll hear about it. And in the meantime, thanks for your question, Anthony.
And thank you, John, for all that you do at WMNF.
A pleasure. Thank you very much. And we will talk again. All right. Want you to know that we are pleased to welcome Ray Roa, the musical editor of Creative Loafing Tampa, who will be conducting your afternoon through It's the Music as we get to run through this just sweltering July afternoon. And so Ray's going to take you through the afternoon as we reach the traffic jam this evening, and the traffic jam will take you home, and the next thing you know, you'll be safe and sound and cool with a nice adult beverage. And in the meantime, we are going to look at, we're going to talk to Dave. Dave in Clearwater. Good afternoon, Dave. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Hey, John. Happy 4th of July.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And, you know, in that context, I have a question for conservatives who are listening to this program. And that is, how do you argue plausibly that Donald Trump is not an appeaser on par with Neville Chamberlain?
Mm.
When you go around the world to meet with the dictator of North Korea, and you don't publicly take that opportunity to shame him for his horrible abuse of his own population.
Mm.
And his corruption and the way he hacks computer systems around the world to sabotage systems for his own gain.
It could be safer to do that from D.C. I'm not sure, Dave.
If you're courageous. The reason we have thousands of people positioned at that border armed to the teeth,
yeah.
I thought, was because we're holding the line. We're holding the line on democracy. We're holding the line on a basic set of principles of acceptable behavior in the world. Now, are we just going to go and disarm for the sake of disarmament and allow this guy to run rampant?
Well,
we still stand by that.
Here's the question that we've been entertaining some, and that is, if we pull out, so let's say that we make some sort of a deal with the Koreans, the North Koreans, and we leave, they fold up their nuclear facilities. But we don't handle their conventional arms. We actually all have had someone who emailed us a little earlier and pointed out that nuclear arms, handling nuclear arms does not handle chemical, biological, and conventional arms. And as far as we know, the North Koreans have got some 13 or 15,000 artillery tubes pointed in the general direction of South Korea. And if they light all those things off at once, it's going to be, there will be casualties on a par with the firebombing of Tokyo and such, or more.
I'm not saying that that's a good situation or desirable. What I'm saying is, and I thought conservatives held true to these principles, that we're going to disarm, not unilaterally, but both sides,
yeah,
under a certain set of principles, which is you curb your worst behavior.
Yeah.
If you want to join the world, then we're going to bring some democratic reform. You're going to, have some democratic principles for your country.
If you want to join the modern world, maybe you should stop treating people like a medieval king.
I thought it was the Reagan doctrine and the presidents before him that unless you're willing to do that, the gun remains pointed at your head.
That, okay, there you go. All right, listen, thanks a lot. I appreciate you bringing that in, Dave, and with any luck, we'll get to talk again.
Thanks.
Sure enough. All right, we are deep, deep, deep into the lightning round as we get ready to hand you off to It's the Music with Ray Rolla this afternoon, the music editor of Creative Loafing Tampa, and you're going to get to listen to the musical tastes here, and he's going to conduct you through the afternoon, and maybe you'll get to stay in where it's nice and cool. And let me see here. We're going to go and talk to Chris. Chris, good afternoon. You may have the last word here in executive session this afternoon. We'll know soon.
Hello, thank you.
Hey.
I called for a different reason, but then I heard the guy who was complaining about, I guess, the people who didn't vote for Clinton like they should have or whatever. So I think this bothers me because I've heard the story. Because his numbers, look, I could even pull half of Trump voters. If they had voted for Clinton, then Clinton would have won. That is the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were also tons of people who just didn't vote at all.
Yeah.
I didn't include him in that. I mean, there's he pulls, it's sort of like a cherry picking thing. He pulled data that would meet what he wanted to view.
Yeah. Well, actually, actually he was calling the bunk on this on the whole notion that if the independent third party voters had voted for Clinton, that Trump wouldn't be in the White House, and we looked at that. Basically, would that have meant that in the districts that she won, she would have won by a wider margin, and would that have affected at all the three or four counties that made the actual difference in the Electoral College?
Right, and I think people misunderstand something. Look, the parties are designed to earn people's votes. They're not guaranteed. The party needs to earn those votes, and when a party loses the respect and the trust of the voters, they're gonna feel it at the voting box. And I'm sorry, that is basically what happened to the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the people lost their faith in it, and many of them just didn't go out and vote.
Yeah,
and that is something that they are still not addressing, and that is my biggest concern that coming up on this next election.
Yeah,
is that they are still not really addressing that loss of trust.
Yeah, I was hoping in this upcoming midterm at least that the Democrats, instead of running around campaigning on we're not this and we're not that, would start campaigning on a whole bunch of sentences that start, we're gonna.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're basically saying, we're not Trump. I'm like, that is the low bar you're setting. Come on, guys.
Yeah, because there's seven some billion of us that are not Trump. I mean, that's
right. That is not going to be good enough for you to get the Senate and the House. Now, I think they have a fairly good shot at getting the Senate back. The House is a huge mess, though.
Yep.
I mean, between all the gerrymandering and stuff that they have to fight their way through, I'm like, and in many places, they don't even put a person to fight. I'm like, yep. Look, you guys ignore half the district. You wonder why you're losing the House.
All right, Chris, you have closed the session for this afternoon. Thank you very much for your... ...going to open... an executive session that is directly related to the conversation that we had yesterday.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
Stay tuned for It's the Music. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater.